You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Each December, a group of 20 critics gather at Le Fouquet, a restaurant on the Champs-Élysées, to choose the winner of the Prix de Luc, which is given to the best French film of the year. Thanks to BAM Cinematheque, over the next few weeks, you'll be able to see 12 of those winners. They range from classics like Diary of a Country Priest and Claire's Knee to more recent films like Lady Chatterley and Modern Life. Special guest Michel Simon, who edits the French film journal Positif and is a member of the Prix Louis de Luc jury, will be introducing a number of them over the next few days, and I'm delighted that Monsieur Simon could join me today to talk about his favorite subject, the movies. Hi.
I'm delighted too.
Now, most Americans have never heard of Louis de Luc. Would it be correct to call him one of the fathers of French cinema?
Yes, I mean, he was not exactly the first film critic, because by 2 or 3 years, others had started to write film criticism. But he started in 1917, and by 1920, he was established as the most important film critic, and he ran a number of film buff magazines. He already recognized the talent of a lot of great directors immediately, like the Swedish directors like Sjöström or Stiller. He wrote a book about Chaplin, all this in the early 20s, and he died in 25 at the age of 33. And also, he was a filmmaker. He made about 5 or 6 films, which were quite well received by people of the time, which I think is a very interesting case of the mythology that we are suffering of today. Because the mythology is that the Nouvelle Vague, the New Wave, was the first movement where film critics turned directors, and that it was the first movement where the auteur was recognized, that is, the director was the key, the foundation of the film. Now, this is all nonsense, and it is spreading all over the world. It is written in every newspaper. I read it recently again in Sight and Sound, a very, very good English magazine. I mean, it's amazing how you can print the legend, as John Ford would say, because if you look at the French magazines of the 20s, first of all, you see that Louis de Luc, but also Marcel L'Herbier, Germaine Dulac, Jean Epstein, all the great filmmakers of the time had all started as film critics. And then if you look at the table of contents of these magazines, what do you find? Only filmmakers. Special issues about King Vidor, about Fritz Lang, about Murnau, about Abel Gance, about Eisenstein.
But this does suggest that this is a uniquely French thing, because I can't think of any American film critics who made films. A few wrote film scripts, but I can't think of maybe Peter Bogdanovich. It's very rare in the rest of the world. But what about Louis de Luc? Did he make good films? I don't know if I've ever seen any of them.
Well, his films, of course, are not, certainly not great films on the level of early René Clair or Napoleon by Gans, but they were definitely films of, they were quite aesthetic. They were, you know, they had this kind of influence of painting and pictorialism. I mean, that was a lot of the films of the time were under this influence, if they were aspiring to art, because there was also a lot of commercial stuff. But it is true that it is a tradition to have critics turning to directors. But in Italy, it's also true. I mean, Antonioni was a critic, so was La Tuada, so was Comencini, so was Dino Risi. And in England, the free cinema, Carol Rice, Lindsay Anderson, all these people, Tony Richardson, were first film critics. What I mean is that what I don't understand in how the New Wave managed to create this mythology that they were the first ones. I mean, Godard says very often, we are the first one who imposed the idea that the director was the auteur. But when you look at a Fritz Lang movie in 1930, what do you see on the credits? Ein Fritz Lang film above the title. And if you have Frank Capra in Hollywood above the title, John Ford above the title. So people were
to the point where some of their writers got upset.
Exactly. With that,
Capra lost his great writer because he said, he handed him a blank sheet and said, here's your next script, make it into a Capra film.
Exactly.
Anyway, so, but now we have this man who died in the 20s, but then this prize was initiated in the 30s.
Yes.
And they decided to use his name.
Yes, because his wife, from whom he divorced, but who, Eve Francis, was an actress, but at the same time, she divorced from him, but she devoted her whole life to him. She died at 93, much after the Second World War. But she had the idea, with other people, film critics, who remembered him as an essential person. They wanted to pay a tribute to him. And in 1937, it was a time also when critics founded the Film Critics Association to fight against the tendency of critics to be just paid by the companies to write blurbs in favor of the films. So they wanted to save the independence of film criticism. So the creation of the Duluc Prize was almost contemporary to the foundation of the Film Society, the Society of Film Critics. And 12 people managed to gather together and to give a prize. The first prize was given to Jean Renoir, not a bad choice, for Les Bas-Fonds, The Lower Depths from Gorky, with Jean Gabin, which was the first prize in 1937. And maybe because of that, Renoir did not get it 2 years later when he made La Bête Humaine, and it was given to Marcel Carné, a film which will be shown at BAM, A Port of Shadows, Quai des Brumes, this extraordinary film with Michel Morgan and Jean Gabin. And for a long time, the Duluc was not given twice to the same film. It was like the Goncourt, the best French prize for film books.
So Jean Renoir couldn't win it for Rules of the Game, which is perhaps his masterpiece. And Carné didn't win it for Children of Paradise because he made it before the prize was being awarded. Is that how that worked?
I think so. I think for 30 years, they did not give it twice to the same director. And I was not, of course, part of that jury at the time. But when I started to be in the film circles, I said to the people of the Duluc Prize, you should not give it twice to Louis Malle. You should not give it twice to Claude Sautet. You should not give it twice to Michel Deville. They are wonderful directors, but you should be like the Goncourt Prize, that you don't give it twice to the same person. And I think that now, in the last 10 years, we have gone back to this tradition that the prize shouldn't be given twice to the same director, which encourages to discover new talents instead of relying on old great directors.
Has the group been meeting at Le Fouquet all those years?
As far as I remember, since the war. Before the war, I don't know, but since World War II, it stopped during the occupation. It was not awarded during the war years, but it started again in 1945 with Malraux, L'Espoir, the great film of Malraux about the Spanish Civil War, Man's Hope, on which he wrote also a book. And I think it's at Le Fouquet's every year.
Now, looking over the list, these are some of the greatest films made in French cinema. Is there general unanimity amongst the critics?
No.
Well, some years, of course, there is more than one great film. And
yes,
then there are some years when there aren't any great films.
Yes. I think there are a few flaws in that list. But compared to other lists of books or plays or films, I think it's a great list. You know, I would say that 3/4 of the films are all classics now, which is not bad for a quick appreciation. And very often we have discussions, but for instance, this year we had the great French documentary filmmaker, Raymond Depardon, who won with Modern Life, which is being screened tonight.
In fact, you'll be introducing it, won't you?
At BAM. Yes. And there was a competition with Agnès Varda, another documentary, strangely.
That was herself, her autobiography,
her
memoir.
Yes, wonderful. Also a great film, The Beaches of Agnès. But we decided for Depardon because Agnès Varda had already received it for Le Bonheur some 40 years ago. And we liked both films very much. They were great films, but we thought it was better to give it to somebody who had never received it.
How many documentaries have received the
I think
the
only
prize?
3 or 4. There was one by another woman, Nicole Vedres, which was a documentary about La Belle Époque, Paris 1900. There is a film which is half documentary, half fiction by Jean Rouch, Moi un noir. And then there was a French film by Nicolas Philibert, Être et avoir, which was about a small class of children. And that's the fourth documentary.
Now, you're showing 12 of the winners. Are these your choice? Or is it because some of these films have not been shown in a while?
Well, there are various considerations. We need to have good prints. available, which is not always true in English subtitles. The second is films which have not been shown at the BAM or which have not been shown in America, period. And, of course, I was very happy with the choice, especially the films I have to introduce, because they are all films I greatly admire.
Such as Maurice Pialat's Anno Amour, which you'll be introducing on Sunday at 6:50. That introduced the world to Sandrine Bonnaire, the great director, the great actress. And that's a wonderful film. But Pialat made a bunch of wonderful films, and one of the I guess, underappreciated directors of his time.
I think so. I think, three of the four, five films that I am introducing are by directors who are among the greatest of French directors. But somehow in America, I've had less clout than Godard or Truffaut or Romer. I mean, Alain René, for me, the greatest French living director. His new film will probably be in Cannes at 87, and it's a stunning new film.
But this is a pretty great film of his, La Guerre Finie.
La Guerre Finie, but he made a number of great films. Claude Sautet, who is a master of French classicism. And
was a guest on the show once, one of the great thrills of my life.
And Maurice Pialat. And of course, the Carnet Prévert is a classic, Port of Shadows.
And you also have Robert Bresson's Diary of a Country Priest, which pretty much established his international reputation. How close is it to the George Bernanos novel that it's based on?
It's very close. I mean, it's a mystery how you can make a masterpiece and at the same time be so faithful to the literary classic. It's one of the few cases, really, of a great book giving birth to a great film.
It's a rather bleak, austere film, as are most of Bresson's films, and an incredible contrast to one of the other films in the series, Monsieur Hulot's Holiday, Jacques Tati. Now, Jacques Tati is still popular in this country.
Yes, but Bresson and Tati have something in common, besides having made a few films, is that they give a lot of importance to sound. I mean, if you look at, if you see a Bresson film or a Tati film, you notice that what is happening off screen, the soundtrack, is sometimes filling a lot of things that are not on the image. And these two people are very revolutionary, I think, in their use of sound.
My guest is Michel Simon, who's the editor of Positif, author of Kubrick, the definitive edition. And he will be presenting some of the winners of the Prix Louis Deluc at the BAM Cinematheque tonight through the 28th is the length of the series. Let's talk about your magazine for just a moment. It began in Lyon. Is that because that's where you were living?
No. First of all, I arrived at Positif 10 years after it was created because I was still a very young child. It started in 1952, 1 year after Cahiers du Cinéma, and it became the arch rival. And the two magazines have lasted the longest time.
And what's the difference? The Cahiers du Cinéma, we've discussed a bit during the show, and they were the promoters of the idea of the auteur.
Yes.
Does Positif not believe that the director is the author of the film?
No. As I said, they did not promote that because it was already acknowledged in the 20s. So Positif also believed in the auteur, except it were not the same auteur. Positif loved John Huston, André Vaida, Antonioni, and Buñuel, and Cahiers preferred Rossellini, Hitchcock, and Dreyer.
Well, those are all great directors.
I know.
Who cares?
But that was a period when there are so many great directors, you could afford to split them into two camps, you know. Today there are not as many great directors, so people tend to like them. No, but what I mean is the difference is that Cahiers pushed the theory of the auteur too far away. I think for them, a director could never fail. That is, the Countess from Hong Kong was as good as Modern Times or as good as The Gold Rush. Le Petit Théâtre de Jean Renoir was as good as La Règle du Jeu. Positif never felt into hero worshipping. We believed all the time that the director is the mastermind in making a film.
But some of their films are better than others.
Exactly. So, the Renoir of the 30s for us is the greatest Renoir. But some directors like Mizoguchi have been great most of the time. So there is no rule. But again, I want to insist on this idea that the auteur of a film has been recognized as being the director right from 1920 by Louis Deluc.
French intellectuals are often critical of the United States, and yet haven't many had a real love affair with Hollywood films?
Of course. I mean, my generation, which was also the Cahiers du Cinéma generation, and Deluc was a lover of American cinema. I mean, Deluc criticized French cinema very strongly in the 20s by being overtly intellectual or too, on the contrary, too vulgar, too popular. He praised the great French the great American actors and the great American directors. He loved, his great shock in the cinema was The Cheat by Cecil B. DeMille in 1916, a silent film which was a stunning expressionistic piece of art, not at all what we imagined DeMille could do. And so he
loved... That was with Sessue Hayakawa?
Sessue Hayakawa. And certainly he loved American films. He loved Griffith. He loved Chaplin. He loved Stroheim. But he died, as I said, in 1925. So he could not like Sunrise, or he could not like Potemkin, or he could not like some of these films. But to give you an example, there was a French magazine called La Revue du Cinéma, which published in 1928 a whole issue on King Vidor and Alleluia, with 1929 or 1930, with pieces by André Gide, the French composer Darius Milhaud, the French ethnographer Michel Léris. I mean, the great intellectual personalities of the time, they all wrote about King Vidor. So Godard cannot say that the director was unknown before the new wave.
Meanwhile, Godard has kind of disappeared from the scene in Switzerland, and that's a whole other story. What we have right now is this wonderful series that is opening at the BAM Cinematheque at the Brooklyn Academy of Music tonight, and Michel Simon will be introducing some of the films. The one tonight, how many others?
There will be five altogether. The last one will be on Monday night, every night till Monday night.
And I thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.